session number 21553, Rule 2.
Dyson Hills, Rule 2. Were there any other manifestations in the hospital of the treatment of the patients that you witnessed?
Well, there was a little boy who wet his bed quite frequently, and it was October then, and he was put out in the early evening onto the balcony in a wet bed and left there as a punishment for quite some time.
It doesn't sound a very caring environment.
Well, I suppose in a way they meant to be, but they weren't. It was very unsympathetic, and everybody had to obey, you know, exactly what they thought was right. We have improved since then.
Can I ask a question about your brother? Obviously, your brother had become a conscientious objector.
Yes.
Did your family experience any incidents because your brother had become a conscientious objector?
Well, I think they did a little bit, because my mother used to go to a rather nice little family grocer quite near us, and they refused to serve her when it became known he was a conscientious objector. But in the services, you didn't find that attitude at all. I never made any pretense that he was anything else, and I never got any stick for it at all.
You said that you resigned from the hospital.
Yes.
What did you plan to do next?
Well, then I thought, well, I would probably join the forces, but it would be better if I got some skill. So I went to a secretarial college for about 9 months and learnt shorthand and typing and bookkeeping. And then, during that time, applied to join the Wrens.
Why did you choose the Wrens?
Well, partly because he wasn't my husband then. My fiancé or boyfriend was in the Navy. Also, the uniform was the nicest.
Did you consider the other services?
No, not really. I preferred the Wrens.
So how did you go about joining the Wrens?
I think you filled in a form and applied, and then they gave you a medical, or they sent you to a doctor, and you had to get a certificate, I remember, from the dentist, which had to be signed by him saying I had sufficient teeth for mastication.
How many teeth are sufficient?
I don't know. Anyway, I had enough.
So what happened next?
Then I was called up to the Wrens in November. Was it?
Is that November 1941?
November 1941, yes.
Where were you called up to?
I went to London, Hampstead, to Westfield College, was taken over by the Wrens.
And what happened when you arrived?
Well, when you arrived, you stood in a long queue to be sort of registered for ages and ages, I remember. And you were put down, and you somehow became a number. We were treated not very well, I think, pushed about and ordered about, and put into a Navy overall type uniform from which I had, you put your ordinary clothes on underneath, and I had a blouse, and I put the collar out. And I was told not to do that. I just put the collar out because it looked so awful as it was. But that wasn't allowed. You were really a number.
Can you remember your number?
No, I can't.
Who was in charge of you?
I can't really remember. I suppose some Wren officers, I think. It was probably second or perhaps the first officer Wrens there, who wrote you down and regimented you and made you, we slept in bunk beds and we were ordered to do this and that, and made to feel we'd got to obey orders quickly.
And how did the recruits take to this?
Not very well. Nobody liked it. But because I'd never been treated like that in my life before. But you realised it was very short. It was only for 3 weeks. And then you got a posting somewhere.
So what type of training did you do in that 3 weeks?
I can't really remember. I think we did some drill. And I think we learnt a few things about naval knots and things, which we all promptly forgot, I think. But I can't remember very much what we did.
Did you take to drill? Okay.
Yes, I didn't mind that, because I was quite well coordinated. You know, I was keen on games, so drill posed no problems for me.
Were any of the recruits less than coordinated?
Oh, yes, yes. And they were sort of barked at and shouted at by these women.
The women who you mentioned as Wren officers, would they have been regulars pre-war?
Because that was 41, late 41. They probably came in earlier.
So what happened after this 3 weeks? Where were you posted to?
I was posted to Lowestoft.
And at that time, what was your rank and what was your duties?
Oh, I was just an ordinary Wren. And I was a secretarial Wren because I had shorthand and typing and had trained as a secretarial Wren.
Were there different branches then within the Wrens? Because you said you were a secretarial Wren.
Yes, there were plotting Wrens. There were... Well, I think they were signal Wrens. I think the officers were the plotting ones. There were cooks and stewards. I worked for the training commander at Lowestoft, and it was a depot which trained minesweeping ratings. And there was a cinema there. They showed films to them. And there were some cinema Wrens, which was unusual.
Was a Wren's role determined by... Because obviously you'd done a secretarial course. Was it determined by your past experience or employment? Then?
I think so, but if you hadn't got any skills, you were probably put into something.
So you moved to Lowestoft. What was your day-to-day duties?
Well, I was secretary to the training commander in HMS Europa at Lowestoft, and he got trainees coming in and they were registered and so forth, and I sat at a desk and made lists of them, and he also wrote letters from time to time and dictated them to me, and he was an extraordinarily nice man, and I had a really lovely time in Lowestoft. Because there were only 3 Wrens in this depot, and I was spoilt completely. The sailors, would bring me... The petty officers were very, very... Most of them very nice, and they brought me buns and tea at 11, and whenever they could, they brought me buns and tea. And they were all very nice, and I think they liked having one or two girls around.
What were conditions like in Lowestoft?
Well, we were in Wren quarters, and we didn't sleep in bunk beds, actually, in a quarters that overlooked the sea, and it was a nice house. Conditions were pretty good, I think. I mean, the food wasn't very good, and I was usually hungry, but we had a canteen, so we could go and fill up with mostly spaghetti on toast or baked beans on toast, because they weren't rationed.
What type of rations were you getting then? What was the food?
Well, we had dried egg, which was produced in various shapes and sizes and wasn't terribly nice. But I think we got more food than the civilians, probably. I think there was certainly adequate food for... you know, to keep you reasonably healthy.
And did you experience any attacks by the Germans on Lowestoft?
Well, yes. We did. We had one or two bombing raids. It was very near Germany, Lowestoft, and we had one lot of guns one end of it and one lot the other, and that's all the defence we had. So they came over and did sort of hit-and-run raids, and we had one or two bombings. But the worst of all was that they came over and machine-gunned. And I remember once standing in the street when they came and machine-gunned. You could see the man in the plane coming very low and machine-gunning straight down onto the street. And I remember feeling myself to see if there were any holes, because I'd heard you didn't feel anything to begin with.
Was that a single-engined aircraft or a bomber?
I think it wasn't a big one. It was just one man in a plane with a gun, I think.
And was there any casualties caused by that?
Oh, yes, there were, yes, quite a lot. I mean, we had a very bad bombing raid once, and we had to go back to the quarters to see who was there and who wasn't.
What had happened there? Was it a...
Well, it bombed the main shopping street of Lowestoft and hit a big shop where there were a lot of people in, and there were a lot of casualties from that.
Did you find that they were aiming for civilian targets rather than the military?
I think they were just nuisance raids. I think they were anything, really.
So how long were you in Lowestoft for, then?
From 1941 to 1943.
Did you receive any visits from your boyfriend at the time?
Oh, yes, I did, yes. And the Navy, my commander, whom I worked for, was exceedingly nice. And if Raymond came, I almost always got leave. And I did, yes.
Did you spend your leave in Lowestoft, or would you...?
We did once or twice we stayed in Lowestoft, I think, but I can't remember really what we did. Can you? We met once or twice in London, too. Because the leaves were not very long, usually. It was only a few days. And back in Leicester, my mother was ill, and I felt I didn't want to bother them too much.
Was there a problem travelling to and from Lowestoft during the war?
Well, I remember it took 7 hours to get to London.
Why was that?
By train. I don't know, really. Just stopped and stopped.
Was that during the period of German bombing, or was it just general?
I think travelling was all right, but it was very slow, and it went very curious routes sometimes, I guess, because of enemy action somewhere.
So you stayed there for roughly 2 years?
Yes.
18 months?
Yes.
What was your next posting?
Well, then I went to Greenwich to train as an officer.
Can you tell me about that? How that worked?
That was 3 weeks training, and I can't remember a great deal about it, except that it was quite pleasant, and I thought that we had an exam at the end, and I thought it was extraordinarily easy. One of the questions was, what does ATS stand for? And I thought anyone would know that. It was the sort of questions we got. But we did also do a little bit of semaphore and knots again, and various sort of things connected with the Navy, but things that, I mean, if you're a secretarial man, you don't really ever need.
And as you'd become an officer, was it the idea that you would then control other secretarial wrens, or would you go to a wider...
I don't know. Well, you get a sort of rather more senior position, I suppose. You might have become a secretary in a big office and be in charge of several. I don't know what would have happened, because I never really became... I mean, I became... I suppose it was like that, because I became secretary to the Command Education Officer after a bit, but I had 3 months off because my mother died, and I got compassionate leave. The Navy was extremely good like that. If you really had a problem, and there was a problem at home because my father was working, and you couldn't get people into hospitals very easily. There were no real nursing homes much, and she needed help.
You mentioned that the Navy were very good with things like compassionate leave.
They were.
Had you experienced that when you were the training command, how that had worked with other naval personnel? Would that have...
I think it would, yes, yes. I mean, my training commander, whom I worked for in Lowestoft, was very good about giving leave whenever Raymond appeared, really, which he did from time to time.
With this period of you becoming an officer,
yes,
would you say that you felt happy or apprehensive or about becoming an officer? How did you feel about that?
Oh, I don't think I felt apprehensive. I think I felt happy because there were quite a lot of advantages being an officer. I mean, from a purely selfish point of view, you fed better and you were paid more, and the job presumably would be more interesting.
When you were trained, did they give you any training about handling other ends? Was there any training with
no,
that sort of thing?
No, they didn't. I don't think so. I can't remember that.
So after your compassionate leave, where were you posted to then?
Well, I asked to go to Liverpool because I knew Raymond's ship was based in Liverpool and he'd be in and out of Liverpool. So I put in a request and then they asked me whether I would go into the education branch. And as it was in Liverpool, I said yes.
What did that entail, joining the education branch?
Well, it really meant that you were not aware of the action very much that went on because you were very peripheral to the main action. And in actual fact, I didn't like the job. I wouldn't have stayed in the job if I hadn't had a burning desire to be in Liverpool.
What were your duties? What did they entail?
Well, very much a secretarial duty for the command education officer, taking down letters and filing his correspondence and that sort of thing. And also, from time to... there was a port education officer too. And from time to time, sometimes he and I, and sometimes alone, we did it separately, we ran discussion groups with on the basis of a booklet called ABCA, and we discussed things like the Butler Education Act with slightly unwilling cooks and steward wrens, I think. But anyway, they weren't having to sort of work in the kitchen, so perhaps they were quite pleased to be there. But they weren't, I must admit, that they weren't always very interested. It was quite hard to work up much interest. And I also did a few exhibitions in a Liver building in Liverpool.
What were they like?
I can hardly remember. I was trying to rack my brains and think what they were on, and I cannot remember. I think they were quite reasonable. I had absolutely no idea how to set up an exhibition. Nobody told me. But I did my best, as I was asked to do it.
So you had a degree of autonomy in what you were doing then? You know, since you were told what to do, but you could...
Yes, yes, yes.
Find the methods of doing it.
Yes, but it wasn't a very busy office. Sometimes there wasn't much to do, and that was very boring.
What degree of importance would you say that the Navy put on education at that time?
I think they tried quite hard to put quite a bit on. And I think this was government policy, right? All the way down from Churchill. I think he was very keen that his servicemen shouldn't come out of the services with a gap in their knowledge of what had been happening and prospects and so forth.
Where were you based in Liverpool itself?
I worked in Liver Building.
Had that received any damage during the German air raids?
No, not that I was that I was aware of. There was no sign of damage at all.
What about the rest of Liverpool?
I think Liverpool was damaged, but before I got there, there were places where they had bombs.
And where were you accommodated?
In Wren quarters, at a place called Dingle. And it was very pleasant. I shared a room with another Wren, who was a gym mistress from Wickham Abbey School. But she was in her 40s, and it was hard, I think, to be a Wren when you were in your 40s, because all the rest of us were much younger. But she was an extraordinarily nice person.
Were relationships generally good in the Wrens?
I think so, yes. In Liverpool, it wasn't a very pleasant place to be. There were more Wren officers in Liverpool than anywhere else, I think. And we were absolutely to a penny. So, you know, to be a Wren amongst a load of sailors in Lowestoft was much more fun.
At that time, did you manage to see your... Was he your husband or boyfriend?
He was my husband by then.
Did you manage to see...
Yes, I did, yes. Because he came in about every 5 weeks. And I could find out from... I had friends in the plotting office, and I could find out when his ship was due. And so I went down to the dock, to Gladstone Dock, to meet him, usually. Usually Gladstone Dock.
Was it... How did you feel about knowing where he was or what he was doing?
Well, it was a bit of a strain, I think. I don't think it was really very sensible, but it was too tempting. I mean, when you have a husband and you want to see him desperately, the thought of seeing him every 5 weeks was wonderful, but then you had to say goodbye to him every 5 weeks.
And how difficult were those partings?
Well, pretty difficult, because you didn't know if you'd ever see each other again.
How did you deal with that at that time?
I think we lived from day to day.
And was that... Would everybody do that? Was that a general feeling?
I should think so, yes. You didn't look to the future, really.
Because obviously at that time, we're looking at 1943, there was... the major battles in the Atlantic.
Yes.
Did you meet any of the characters who were involved?
Well, I met fellow officers from my husband's ship, of course, and one or two of the ratings, but I didn't know the top people at all. I mean, I had seen Captain Roberts. Was he Captain? In his set-up in Derby House, because we were taken on to look at it. And he was pretty impressive, I thought. But I didn't know anyone else. I just remember enormous atmosphere in Liverpool when Captain Walker died.
What was the atmosphere like?
Oh, terrific loss and mourning. I mean, the whole town was aware of him and proud of him, and enormous feeling of loss and sadness.
What were they... How aware were they of what Captain Walker had been involved in?
Well, we and the Wrens were all aware of him, because he was a name that cropped up all the time if you talked about anything that was going on. And it was the main base for Western approaches, and he was a tremendous figure in all that.
And did the people of Liverpool?
I think they probably did, yes. I think so, but I wouldn't really know.
Would that have been because of the naval connections, though?
Yes, because the whole town really seemed enormously aware of all... I mean, it was an enormous number of naval personnel were in Liverpool. It was a very big base.
So how long were you in the role as, with the education?
Well, while I was in Liverpool, and I suppose for about 15 months altogether.
So would that take you through into 1944?
Yes, I came out of the Wrens in November 44. I think it was November, it was the autumn. And then I was 4 months pregnant.
During that time, obviously, the Normandy landings had occurred.
Yes.
Was your husband involved in those?
Yes, he escorted off Omaha Beach and D plus one.
Were you aware of that at the time?
Oh, yes, very, yes. And worried. It was the one time when I asked him to telephone me, because I didn't really want, and I felt that if he'd failed to telephone me, I'd think he was dead. And but this time I thought, I really must know that he's all right. And I asked him to telephone me, and he happened to telephone when I was out. I don't know where I was, but my roommate, the gym mistress from Wickham Abbey, took the call. And it went down as quite a joke in our family, because Raymond said, would you just tell Doris that I'm fine? And she immediately said, Raymond, are you taking plenty of exercise? Which was a very funny remark, because on board ship it's a bit small.
So she placed great store on exercise, did she?
Oh, yes, yes. She was very keen on all the exercise, and she was an awfully nice person. But
so you became pregnant and you left the Wrens. What was the reaction when you became pregnant?
Oh, I was delighted, because before we had thought we wouldn't get married till after the war, and then we thought we would, and then we thought, well, we can't delay this forever, and we'd like a family. We knew we wanted a family. And you could see that the war was ending, really. I mean, the Second Front had happened, Stalingrad had resisted, the Americans before that had come in, you know, everything. And it was, we were going through France. And, you know, the Normandy landings had been successful, so there wasn't... I wouldn't have wanted to be in the war with a... right through the war with a young family. I think that was the worst position of all.
And how did your superiors react to your pregnancy?
Oh, they were quite... they were quite happy about it. And by that time we had a very nice first officer Wrens in our office. Perhaps it was expanding a bit. And she was a nice person. And when once she introduced Raymond to the head of the Wrens, she said, this is Lieutenant Venables, husband of third officer Venables, who's left the Wrens for better things. And everybody was perfect, because it happened so often. I mean, people started families in the war.
Were there any cases of Wrens that you knew of who got pregnant out of wedlock at that time?
Well, just one in Lowestoft, only one.
And how was that viewed?
I think we were all rather sympathetic to her and felt that it was pretty hard going, and because there was a lot of prejudice in those days about girls who became pregnant.
And how would that have been viewed by superiors?
I don't know. I hope with a good deal of sympathy.